Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I, of course, want you to holler at me. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're a tad bit afraid to give me a call, feel free to email me. SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. Social networking, I got you there too. You can go to the Facebook page, the Smooth Drama page. Me or Mr. J will add you for show if you request to get in. You know, we talk about this and that, from sneakers to hats. It's all over the place. And Twitter, basically Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, you will find me. And add me and we can talk about it. I don't care. I'm an open book. Speaking of that, you know, I always made the joke about adding me as a friend and how some of y'all don't talk to me. And you say nothing. You're like that hidden friend. Like I made the joke, like the Blair Witch, when they flashed that light and everybody was standing in the corner like frozen. That's how some of my Facebook friends are. We're friends, but we don't talk. I guess my new Facebook friend commenting on damn near everything I posted. Shout out to you, homie. My main man, G, you are very active. Yeah, you're making up for the 200 people that have never said a word all in like 2 hours. You are an amazing commenter. And yeah, that's all I got. Speaking of which, Bay Area stand up. Warriors won the chip. I want to give a special shout out to all the people who ignored my car and didn't jump on top of my roof or turn it over or set my car on fire. Special shout out to y'all. It was amazing. Big win, obviously. Kevin Durant, MVP. And he got his first championship, and it's beautiful. And, of course, everybody was talking about, Smack team, blah, 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 blah. And truth be told, there have been a lot of super stacked teams over the years. I mean, honestly, this Golden State team is, under nowadays, they're like, oh, it's like the greatest team ever. Not really. I mean, if we talk about Hall of Fame talents, it's a few teams that would argue that you can argue that had way more talent. But it's all speculation and generational, and I don't want to get into that kind of hate. Just say, hey, they want it, and it's not looking like they're going to slow down anytime soon. So it might be that dynasty where we start talking about them as the greatest team ever if they keep going and keep winning championships, obviously, because this is the first time for this team. I mean, the other championship a couple years ago, it's a little bit different because it's a different team. So you have to judge the teams by who's on it. And so this one, this is the first, although this is Steph Curry's second championship players. Winning championships. And, everybody was winning. Everybody was chipping in. Even the police. Police issued more than 40 citations and towed at least 30 cars last night, according to their records. Police say there was 400 to 500 spectators, and they were participating in some sideshow activity in East Oakland. And, no, basically, the cops got paid. I mean, they say that there's no quota. And all that stuff is like an urban myth. But we know those 40 citations that they gave out, the citation is about 75 to 100, something like that. So 40 of those, and then the 30 cars that were towed, you know, that's another 300-400, depending on when you pick up the car. So hey, it was a fruitful night for everybody. The Warriors got their championship. The fans got to see them win the championship at home. And the police got in on the act and got a little money too, so they can get paid to further harass people. Yeah. And then there was LeBron. You know, I think I'm chronicled in my love for LeBron and his community service. I mean, as a man and activist, you can't say not one word against this cat. Because when you talk about all the stuff that he's done for the kids in his neighborhood, building the schools and the scholarships and paying for college, I mean, it's unparalleled. But then there's those other things. I mean, one, the whole chasing stats and talking about your legacy and you're still playing. I have a problem with that. I know it makes for good headlines, whatnot. Oh, is he better than Jordan? Blah, 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 blah. No, but we're going to argue the fact. And you know, they talk about how, well, he hasn't been the favorite in six of the finals that he's participated in. But hey, you know, tough titty. He's 3-5 in the finals. And, you know, he's very aware of his stats. He talks about his stats. I mean, like, when they were down 3-0, they talk about him. They talk about the team. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm averaging a triple-double. I'm not tired. It's like, you know, you're not supposed to be talking about you losing. You don't talk about your stats. You're constantly comparing yourself to great. I just wouldn't say nothing. You let your game speak for you. I mean, you don't have to brag. I don't recall Magic Johnson sitting up there talking about his stats and how many triple-doubles he had and who he's about to pass on the ladder. Yeah, you can know about it, but you're not talking about it. It's just petty. And then the killer of all killers is the fact that he came out and he was like, you know, I've never played on a super team. And I'm like, really? You left Cleveland, joined up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, quote unquote, super team. Dwayne Wade was still mostly in his prime. You know, they was bragging about not winning not one, not two, not three, not four. I mean, they was talking about, oh, we going to win like six, seven in a row. Didn't quite work out like that. You know, they won two. Then he comes back to Cleveland. It's not a super team. It's just a team with Kyrie Irving, who's first pick in the draft. Tristan Thompson, who was a lottery pick. We just like go down the line. J.R. Smith, McDonald's All-American, another lottery pick. And when I think about it, there's only one guy. No, there's two guys on that team that was not a first-round pick and not a lottery pick. One of them is their third-string point guard, and I can't remember his name, and it doesn't really matter because as of now, it's not really all that important in the conversation. And Kyle Korver, who has proven to only be the number one three-point shooter in the world, not named Steph Curry. I mean, you start looking. I mean, the dude that didn't even play really until mop-up time, Derek Williams, he was the number two pick in the draft. Channing Frye, lottery pick. I think he was like number nine. I mean, I can go down the line. Darren Williams, whichever one you want to call him. He's another guy that he was like, I think he was like the third or fourth or fifth pick in the draft and was highly anticipated, highly hyped coming into the league. Now, conversely, we switch over to Golden State. There's only one guy that was number one pick in the draft on that squad, Kevin Durant. Steph Curry, he was the number seven pick. They picked three point guards before him. Minnesota picked two, as a matter of fact, before they finally got to Steph Curry. And nobody projected him as a superstar winning the championship. Hell, this is a dude that wanted to play for his daddy's alma mater, and they didn't even recruit him. That's how anticipated he was. Klay Thompson out of Washington State. He went to Washington State. You go to Washington State because not really anybody else is recruiting you. Wasn't even really that anticipated either. And last time I checked, they were going to trade him for Kevin Love. They were going to trade him for Kevin Love because they thought Kevin Love was the superior player. Thank goodness they didn't do that, huh? So Draymond Green, second round pick, he was like 30-something, 32, 36, 37, something like that, far off. And so basically when we talk about what's a super team? What's not a super team? I mean, realistically, Cleveland was the more talented squad. Ultimately, talent doesn't win games. Well, talent wins games, but we're talking about teamwork. Golden State exhibited teamwork and ran their system. And Cleveland basically played what we affectionately, non-affectionately call hero ball. Well, oh, okay, you take your man. Okay, now it's my turn. I'm going to take my man. That kind of ball wins when you have superior talent. When all things are equal, that kind of ball will get you beat every time. So, I mean, I'm on record as saying LeBron is the most selfish, unselfish guy in the league. I mean, you can't really run a system with him except for one-on-one pick and roll. Not that I'm trying to tear him apart or pick him apart or anything like that, but, you know, when he starts making comments, oh, I've never played on the super team, it's like it's very disingenuous. That's very disingenuous. You know, it's that some things you just, hey, you lost. Hey, we lost to a better team. Move on. Let it go. Or you just do like Dennis Rodman and just go and negotiate for hostages in North Korea. I ain't gonna stay on that long, but the fact that Dennis Rodman is going over to Korea to quote unquote North Korea to open doors and maybe negotiate for hostages. I'm like, this is a dude who's calling, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame basketball player, role player, great rebounder, defender. But I remember him in a documentary talking about when he was having sex with a woman, her like, come on and get it, and him diving and breaking his dick, and him talking about blood squirting all over the place. I'm like, that's your hostage negotiator, Dennis Rodman. Yeah. On that note, I am going to go on break. This is Buckshot. Ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, no other than he, BDI, and he. That's Buckshot. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies like that 2009 Mercedes. Dipping and dodging traffic, they're like the Godzilla at it, but my life is hell to listen. Welcome to my haunted mansion, cause I paid my dues, and I played my cool back then. Something you never seen, puffing that evergreen. High out the corner, got me feeling like another bean. Feel like a caution when I see the margin, and my money never funny how. Back then, the kids were starving. You got a pardon, I was used to starving. My life is hardened, and now it's kind of cool. I got a new apartment in the hills, from Liverpool skills. I possess objections. One consistent of shining, one pertaining to rhyming. The other is the way this brother maintaining your mind. Trust my label is finest. Now you try to define them, how about this is the finest? Something for your arthritis. The block you rep is righted. So when you see your BDI, just fight it. Oh, my dough, my gosh, my flow, my fraud. Y'all know who can charge it. Time to pick up my chest. I don't want nothing left but the best. You see how I rep, check. Oh, my dough, my gosh, my flow, my squad. Y'all know who can charge it. Time to pick up my chest. I don't want nothing left but the best. You see how I rep, check. No more hurting for paper. We berserk with the paper. Just hit the bank up and I'm. No more searching for mines. No more nickels and dimes. Nice to make the beat stop while I work with the lines. Yeah, I'm used to the gutter, and I'm used to the butter. Should I get money with the mother? It's not a joke, neither. It's not a hope, neither. My own creator, poor guy. I'm not Coke Stevens. I got my shit together. You got your shit together? Well, let's spit this bread up and just... Cause I'm tired of the struggle. I rely on the hustle. Quick shower, so when I get out of the slide in the bubble, I'm just trying to show you. Beady eyes to blow. You know you can go to when you... Cause I'm fresh and so clean. And I'm repping the team. Nigga, I'm a coach when I approach the flow. Yo, I got this game down pat. You see that thing in the back? Yeah, and I got them shook, man. Yeah, brothers from Brooklyn. Look, man, I'm like a captain off the hook, man. Tilt your shades that your eyes can see. A vision of the last three, nigga, I am he. Oh, my dough, my God, my flow, my squad. Y'all know who can charge it. Time to big up my chest. I don't want nothing left but the best. You see how I rep? Yep. So, my dough, my God, my flow, my squad. Y'all know who can charge it. Time to big up my chest. I don't want nothing left but the best. You see how I rep? Yep. Yep. Have a wreck, nigga. Brooklyn, MC. That's it. You know how we do. Nice wonder on the, nice wonder on the, nice wonder on the beat. Yeah. Rock shot in the book. There's no go right. Let this shit bump in your system right now, real quick.
Together you got the smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Buckshot in Ninth Wonder. Ready, brand new day. Because, you know, of course, you always got to be ready for that brand new day. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. Talking about stuff that's important and what's not important. Now, there are a lot of people who are caught up. And, you know, we've been talking about these bills like the transgender thing. You know, who's got a dick and want to go into the women's bathroom? Who's got a vagina and want to go into the men's bathroom? That's what's been dominating the scene. It's like, oh, what? I can't take my penis into the woman's bathroom. I'm taking drugs so that I can be a woman, but you're telling me I'm not. And it's, you know, it's been a big deal. I'm like, it's just the bathroom. It's like too many propositions, but I guess if you're doing a number two, it might be like a 5 or 10 minute proposition, but that's a whole nother conversation. But in and out. But I'm not talking about that. I'm actually talking about something that's like really, really important. Like, for example, while people are talking about that, your Supreme Court have been doing a few things. Not that people really pay attention to the Supreme Court if it's not talking about bringing your, once again, your penis into the woman's bathroom or your vagina into the men's bathroom. The Supreme Court, they'll be ruling on the question whether union contracts can legally include provisions where employees waive the right to join in class action lawsuits. While unions and the NLRB argue that this provision violates an employee's inherent right to collective action, management, you know, those people that work for the corporations, argue that all disputes should be settled individually by way of binding arbitration, a method that they say has been proven quicker and less expensive. Now, Supreme Court is kind of split on the issue. You know, so far. And what's important about this issue? One, the same Supreme Court are the people who have said that corporations are people. Now, as a business owner, you know, it's a unique situation to be in. Like if you have a corporation, like I have a corporation. So the corporation that I work for, but don't work for, that I own, is actually a person. So it's weird because I'm a person, and according to the Supreme Court, the business that I started or partner with is a person too. It's weird, but it has nothing to do with the arguments. The point is that the for the sake of the law, business is a person. So when they rule on this, what they're saying is, when they're ruling on whether the union contracts can include provisions where employees waive the right to join in class action lawsuits, These provisions were put in the first place because you're more powerful together than apart. You know, it's one of those things. If a multi-million dollar, and in some cases billion dollar corporation is going up against a thousandaire, which would be you, who do you think has the wherewithal to battle in court and, you know, wait out judgments, whatnot? You would say that multi-million-dollar or billion-dollar corporation. And I mean, you can bully individuals like, hey, look, you buy yourself on this. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to do, but we're going to wait you out and you're not going to get no money. So all you're going to do is lose money. I mean, these are the facts inherent in a business, corporation, i.e. person, according to your Supreme Court. And you, the individual, billion-dollar individual, thousandaire, you're losing. So when they say that they can waive the right to join in on class action lawsuits, I mean, as we know it, class action lawsuits are how some people can go at businesses because you're a group. And so the group is represented by one lawyer. Bam. So the lawyer gets his cut off the top, and then everything else is distributed amongst the thousandaires. Under this provision that would waive that inherent right to collective action, everyone has a lawyer. Now, you can see how lawyers would love this provision. I mean, this is like lovely if you're a lawyer. It's like, shit, we all get paid. And as an individual, you do not. So let's just look at the math. Me and all my coworkers, say all 500 of us, we have one lawyer. And so the lawyer gets a cut off the top of 500 pieces. This provision, the lawyer gets a cut off the top of one person who cannot afford, generally speaking, to fight against a corporation. So you cut that deal, you lose. So the only people who win in this, if this ruling goes the way that we know it's going to go, is the lawyers and those persons that are multi-millionaire and billionaire persons. Because I have to keep saying persons, because the Supreme Court said they're not a business, they're a person, according to the Supreme Court. Now, some folks say it's not really that important, but, you know, if you're actually a person who actually works, you know, you're at a job, and if you're in a union environment, yeah, it is important. But, I mean, maybe to some, it may not be quite as important as going into the bathroom with your penis. Obviously, that me being able to go into the ladies' bathroom and with a straight face say, hey, well, I'm a lesbian. I'm transitioning. And just that day, I just want to be a pervert, and I want to watch women and young ladies go in and out of the bathroom, see if I can glean a little, you know, a little eyeful as I, you know, jerk off and please myself. I mean, it's sick shit. And I mean, obviously, There are some people who generally take that seriously, but there's going to be others who do not. But once again, that's more important than maybe the Supreme Court having doubts about asset forfeiture. Now, you say, Mr. FN word, what the hell are you talking about, this Supreme Court and criminal forfeiture?
What the hell is that? Well, this article I'm reading. In Honeycutt versus the U.S., the court rejected the government's argument that a defendant should be held liable for a forfeiture judgment based on property obtained by his co-conspirator, even if the defendant did not obtain or acquire the property. See, in Honeycutt, the two brothers were convicted of conspiracy to distribute a product that is used to manufacture methamphetamine. After the conviction, the government sought forfeiture judgments against the two brothers in the amount of $269,751.98 as profits of the conspiracy pursuant to the Comprehensive Forfeiture Act of 1984. Now, Tony, the owner of the store, pleaded guilty to distribution of the product and agreed to forfeit $200,000. The other brother, Terry, went to trial, was convicted, and sentenced. And despite the fact that Terry worked in the store and did not profit from the sales of the product, the government sought to hold Terry liable for the outstanding profits from the sale. And so the district court declined to impose the forfeiture judgment against Terry. But the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed it and said that as co-conspirators, the brother were jointly liable for the forfeiture judgment. Now, why am I talking about this? What does this have to do with anything? You know, there's the movie on Bernie Madoff, and if you don't know about him, it's the dude that stole money with that pyramid scheme of a lot of people. And I mean, what we're talking about here is if the Supreme Court, once again, those guys and ladies, they have their doubts about the forfeiture, asset forfeiture. Basically, what can happen is this. Not that I'm a criminal, but my corporation, the person that I work with, that I'm partners with, but is actually the name that I use, my fictitious person. Well, they just so happen to funnel a lot of money and steal it. I'm the one that's doing it. But let's say that me and my partners, we're all in on it. What under this act, I can just take the rap, and my partners say, hey, we were innocent and we didn't gain anything on this. So they get to keep the assets I illegally obtained. Now, is that important? I don't know. I mean, you start thinking like Bernie Madoff, because there was an article where they talked about how he has his wife and how what she's doing, staying low key, whatnot. Now, Madoff stole a lot of money from a lot of people. So, Mrs. Madoff is in the household and she's enjoying the luxuries of all that. Now, I mean, they talk about her like she was a victim too. But, I mean, there's a reasonable expectation that if she was in the house with him, and the kids, she enjoyed those luxuries. And so if you don't do this asset forfeiture, everything that he stole, technically, she could say, I did not benefit from that, i.e. like the brothers. And, hey, she can hold on to some of that, because you can't necessarily prove, one, that she benefited, or that some of that cash did not come from something that she did, as opposed to what Madoff did, the husband. It's tricky. It's basically saying that you can have some folks who work together
and one person takes the blame. Everybody else hoards the money that they stole, and that's it. So those who are wronged, aggrieved, whatnot, have no recourse. And if they abolish this Comprehensive Forfeiture Act of 1984, this is what's going to happen. Rich people are going to, and I'm gonna say this, let me make differentiation. Millionaires and billionaires will continue to steal from thousandaires, and they won't be able, they won't have to pay it all back, because there will be no Comprehensive Forfeiture Act as a mechanism to make them pay back what they stole. They won't, all parties won't be jointly liable. Is that important? I don't know. It's sort of like the question posed before. Is organized labor, which turns into individual organized labor, that individual by himself fighting against corporation, is that important? Because these are technically the same people, just a different way they be stealing and getting away with it and not having to pay for their crimes. It's kind of funny, the Supreme Court, that we don't get to vote on, by the way. I mean, you vote for the people who vote them in or approve them, whatnot, but you really have no influence on how the Supreme Court is made up. And as far as their, appointments, they're there for life unless they basically, well, I won't say get on TV and shoot somebody, because we've seen that you can get on TV and actually beat the hell out of somebody and shoot somebody, and it doesn't count. Just saying. Basically, Supreme Court, once they're appointed, they're not beholden to you, so they can do things that aren't conducive to thousandaires' wishes and well-being. And these are a few of the things that are right there in your face. I mean, it's kind of rough when you see these type of injustices put in your face. There's nothing you can do about it. Why am I talking about it? I mean, I guess it's important, or maybe it's not important. I mean, because you called into question. All right, so what can we do? Obviously, I would recommend that you would be able to hold these people's feet to the fire, but technically you can't. So my best thing is, I don't know what to do. I can't tell you. I mean, there's what I think should happen as far as changing how the mechanism goes, but that would take complete and utter revolution and a changing of the guard, which most folks just are not ready for. But in this particular case, it's what's being called for. I mean, because we're talking about making laws or taking away rights that benefit you, the thousandaire, in order to benefit the millionaire, billionaire. This is pretty much what's happening. But, with the right mind frame and people coming together, things could change. But as a homie of mine would say, it takes that consciousness got to evolve first. And as it stands right now, I'm not seeing that. But, hey, that's why I'm going on break. I'm tired of talking about it. This is most deaf. Undeniable.
Party in a B-boy stage. I rock on the mic and make the world want to dance. You come from up above. I rock on the mic and you can call me on star. No homie, you can call it what you call it. On the week and you can't call it star. Nothing like that, baby. Need to call me up. 718-D-A-N-D-E-R-1. This show is on for the club. And all the pretty mommies want some till I'm gone. Geek, geek, where how Biggie stay spread. I have a song going on here. Till they can't get it up. It's just a real nigga get it up. A loud brown, not a
is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, of course, I always like to lead off with the
last segment with my Groundhog Day, because, you know, Groundhog Day is that thing that happens every day. It's like you just wake up, what?
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Yeah, what is that shit that happened again? We saying hell no to. Oh, the cop who killed Philando Castile. He had some words that, man, they seem and sound so familiar. It's like I couldn't believe he said it, but he said it. The officer who fatally shot Philando Castile during a traffic stop last July testified in court that he fired his gun because he feared for his life. Yeah. So, Geronimo Yanez said that after Castile informed him that he had a licensed firearm in the car, he told Castile not to reach for it. Yanez said, even though he was on camera, that he saw Castile, 32, reaching for his gun in his pocket and reacted. I had no other choice. I didn't want to shoot Mr. Castile. That wasn't my intention. I thought I was going to die. Now, mind you, we're talking about Castile's girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, who testified that, of course, he wasn't reaching for the gun. And she, of course, live streamed the moments after Yanez fired his gun, told jurors that Castile posed no threat and he was reaching for his seatbelt to get his wallet just before Yanez pulled the trigger. Because, as we know, most people know, and maybe there's few people who do not know this, but when the police say, hey, license and registration, you reach for your license and registration. Most people keep their license in their wallet. Most guys. No women have purses. And maybe you're a guy who has a man purse. I don't know. But the reasonable expectation for men, if you say, show me your license and registration, I'm going to reach into my wallet and pull out my license, because normally the registration is somewhere, glove compartment, wherever. But you gotta get that license out, right? Proof of insurance also. So yeah, that is what we got happening. That's, I mean, Groundhog Day. He feared for his life. I mean, they all say that. I mean, that terrible human being, Betty Shelby, she said, one, I lost my hearing, and I feared for my safety. They all say that. They have the gun, but they fear the unarmed black man. Because apparently, unarmed black men are the most dangerous things in the universe. I mean, they're the supreme beings. Apparently, it's like, he don't have a gun. I'm scared to death. Yeah. Let that sink in for a minute. I mean, because he's on camera. Once again, he shot an unarmed man that he asked to show. I mean, the dude told you, hey, I have a registered licensed firearm. And so, you tell him, show me your license and registration, you're shooting. Yeah. Groundhog Day. Because we know this is what happens all the time. It can't stop, and it won't stop, and it don't stop. You know, sort of like I saw this, and you know I'm a conspiracy theorist, so I always go in two parts. I saw there was an article talking about 75% of the black boys
in California don't meet state reading standards. So it's, you know, according to this study, it's saying that 3 out of 4 California classrooms failed to meet reading. African American boys failed to meet reading and writing standards on the most recent round of testing, according to the data that's compiled and obtained from the State Department of Education and analyzed by CalMatters. And so they said more than half of the black boys scored in the lowest category on the English portion of the test, you know, trailing their female counterpoints. Now, as somebody who, you know, has been in a classroom or two, a lot of the material is it's just not interesting. You know, I throw out the example I always throw out. You have kids reading like books like To Kill a Mockingbird, which, if you don't know what To Kill a Mockingbird is about, it's about this town, small town full of racist people, white people. Black dude helps out a white woman, does, you know, the Good Samaritan thing, and she blames, she says he tried to rape her, assault her, or whatnot. And this guy, this lawyer, defends him, but he goes to jail. You know, it's a really, really sad story. It's not exciting. I mean, in a lot of the books that they have the kids read, there's no excitement. There's nothing to it. I mean, they're quote unquote social justice stories, and they're supposed to be lessons in it. But I mean, if you're a black kid, I mean, you just point to, oh, there's a black dude who did nothing wrong. I mean, he went to jail because he was nice to somebody. He's nice to a white person. I mean, that's the gist of the story. Now, that is not exciting. Not to me. And I can't think of any kids who want to read about that. It's like, woo! So, not saying that is the sole reason why the kids aren't at a high reading and writing level, but I'm going to guess that if you gave them some material remotely interested them, you probably could get them a little bit more interested in reading it, and you probably could get them a little bit more interested in writing about it. That's just me. It kind of makes sense, but to some, maybe it doesn't. You know, but if you're reading about stories where you lose all the time, I don't know how that will be any good. But I'm a conspiracy theorist. I always think that is what is the problem. You know, I think you start right there, and if you could combat the interest level, and if it's not interest level, then you start saying, okay, maybe it's a learning disability, whatnot. But interest level is always first. Now, as a conspiracy theorist, I also, you know, I see these terrorist attacks, whatnot, and, you know, I've always been, you know, there's the false flags, and you know, there was the thing with Megyn Kelly and Alex Jones, and he was talking about Sandy Hook was a false flag, and everybody was up in arms at that. But then I saw that they were talking about the IS praised jihadist attacks in the Philippines and Iran, and I was like, the Philippines? I was like, why is there jihad in the Philippines? Obviously, I won't say obviously, but I'm somebody who's paid attention to the Philippines because their president Duterte has been attacking the drug trade and a lot of the criminal elements that is not benefiting his country. And so when I see that their Islamic militant groups are attacking the Philippines, and I'm sitting up there like,
I don't think the Philippines qualifies as the Great Satan. It's just they're not a rich country, right? I don't think if anybody is, you know, you would just say that most of the quote unquote Islamic terrorists would hate like Europeans, right? For, you know, European Christians. I mean, are the terrorists going after poor colonized countries now? I mean, because last time I checked, the Philippines was a colony of the United States, whether it's acknowledged publicly or not. So why are they attacking the Philippines? And what did that have to do with black boys not wanting to read or conspiracy theories in general? It's just look at it. There are certain things that happen that are manipulated. So you say you put certain things on TV that put you in certain lights. Like we see black women, they're on TV and it's reality shows. You see young black men on TV in jail, hustling, drug dealers, whatnot, or musical empire starring guys doing rap music in very, very tight clothing and sometimes dresses. Now, those are negative portrayals. In the Philippines, I mean, why would terrorists attack them? They are not paid and manipulated to attack a certain group of people who do not want to be colonized anymore and are bucking the system, per se. You know, you keep them fighting and they can't build themselves up because they are in the middle of defending yourself. You can't elevate if you're trying to just hold your position and try and defend yourself. And the two kind of sort of, they kind of sort of fit. Maybe if you see the connection, if you're looking through the binoculars a certain way, colonial powers want to make sure that their colonists, people that they are lording over, stay in their lane. I mean, I kind of talked about this all night, right? Organized labor being shut down, Supreme Court not taking away the assets, forfeiture, the billionaires having to pay back what they steal from the thousandaires. It's just whether or not that, you know, I don't think it takes a third eye. I mean, you got two good eyes. You know, we see all the bad stuff that happens. Now, whether or not you recognize it or want to recognize it is a totally different subject, and that is the argument. And on that note, I am Mr. F to N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production, and I am out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got
smooth
drummer.